Fill out your attendance slips and leave them at your place, and we'll pick them up after the meeting. Also, remember, even though we can hear you in the room without a microphone, please go to a microphone if you're going to ask a question or make a comment. And it helps us if you tell us who you are and your constituency. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. This brings us to item number 3, which is adoption of the agenda for today's October 26, 2022 Faculty Senate meeting. And may I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. So the approval of the agenda for today's meeting has passed, and we shall now move to agenda item 4, to approve minutes of the September 28, 2022 meeting. Everyone should have the agenda package in front of you. This was also sent out by PAC electronically, and you can see the minute on page 3 through page 5. I will allow about a minute for folks to review the minute, and we will take it from there. Okay. May I have a motion and a second to approve the minute? Okay, Peter, second.
Linda.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Any discussion, addition or deletion to the agenda? See no discussion. Minute for the September 28 passes. Thank you, everyone. We move to agenda item 5, public comment. Pat, do we have any timely request for public comment?
No public comment today.
Thank you. So this brings us to agenda item 6, Faculty Senate President announcement. Well, as you can see on the agenda today, we do not have action items. So today's meeting is one of those meetings that is likely going to be very short. And I do have a couple of announcements that I would like to kickstart the meeting with. The first had to do with the National Association of Faculty Senate. As some of you who have been in this body for over 3 years or so may recall, Faculty Senate, our Faculty Senate became an institutional member of the National Association of Faculty Senate. This organization brings together Faculty Senate chairs from over 40 universities, including NIU, to discuss shared governance matters in its annual gatherings. And in preparation for this year's gathering, the National Association of Faculty Senate conducted a survey among Faculty Senate chairs to determine issues that are at the top of their shared governance concerns. Of the host of issues surveyed, the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic on faculty engagement in shared governance was ranked as the number one concern. And this topic will be the main theme for the National Association of Faculty Senate gathering, which is going to take place this Friday, October 28th. I'm going to be participating in the meeting and I'm looking forward to it and hopefully reporting back to the steering committee and to this body. The second topic I want to bring up to just touch upon a little bit today pertains to Faculty Senate, or pertains rather to one of the Faculty Senate regular meeting standing agenda items, namely report from councils, board, and standing committees. The regular reports, chairs of the Faculty Senate standing committees, student bodies, and our representative to advisory council present to this body not only keep us informed about range of issues or policies in the works, but they also this report should be seen as vehicle for Faculty Senate meaningful participation in shared governance. So at the last Faculty Senate steering committee meeting, we discussed how we can make reporting or these reportings more engaging. And one idea that kind of engaged and floated with included to add in future Faculty Senate agendas a specific topic or specific question related to subject matter of any of the report. I mean, this is something not requirement, but as a way to enable the body to know ahead of time topics that are coming up, topics that are being discussed. And then sometimes, because if we do it ahead of time, some of us could even take it back to our constituents, engage them, and through that, provide feedback that will inform that active and effective participation in shared governance matters. And again, let's not forget, these reporting, as I said, they form of a feedback. So it goes two ways. We are informed, and we should also inform those doing those reporting so that we can be in a position to effectively influence policy decision-making relevance to the purview of this body. So that's something to look out to in future Faculty Senate agendas. And one last remark I want to conclude pertain to the UFA negotiation, the United Faculty Alliance, our faculty union. It's currently undergoing a round of bargaining negotiation with the administration. The two sides have come to tentative agreement on many issues, but remain apart on question of compensation. And negotiations are continuing, and one is scheduled tomorrow, October 27, at 8:30 a.m. at Home Student Center, room 305 and room 306, and another on November 10th, taking place during the same time and at the same venue. So with this, I want to move on to agenda item 7, and I'm happy to turn the floor to Provost Ingram for any announcement she might want to make. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you, Ishmael. I just have a few things to remind people of. I wanted to update you on searches. As you probably know, the search for the Chief Financial Officer and Vice President for Administration and Finance is wrapping up. We had all the candidates to campus, and I'm hoping there'll be a positive announcement sometime, maybe next week. The Dean of the College of Health and Human Science candidates are coming in. I want to make sure everybody knows when the open forums are. They are on the 9th, 11th, 14th and 16th of November at 3 p.m. And I didn't write down the location. That probably would have been helpful.
Provost Ingram, I think it's Alkel 315.
Thank you very much, Pat. And I highly encourage you to go to those and fill out the forms, because we do, I actually read through all of the documents that we get from people to get a sense of the candidates. I see Janice is here. There's a workshop for pre-tenure faculty on tenure and promotion that Chad McAvoy and Janice Hamlet are running tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. in the Illinois room in the Holmes Student Center. I really encourage all pre-tenure faculty, even if they're in their first or second year here, to go to this workshop. I think these are really terrific opportunities to learn about the process, to get tips from other faculty members, and it's one of the ways we try to support our pre-tenure faculty. So if you know of some faculty, please let them know when it is. And there was no RSVP, I don't think. You can just show up. And then finally, it's sabbatical approval season, and the applications are in from the colleges, and the Faculty Senate Personnel Committee will be meeting very soon to consider the applications and do their business of reviewing them and approving them. So that's moving forward as well. So any questions for me today? Great, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Provost Ingram. So we move on to agenda item 8, items for Faculty Senate consideration. As you can see, we do not have an agenda item here. So we're going to move on to agenda item 9, report from councils, board, and standing committees. And at this point, I'd like to invite on Linda Saborio, Faculty Advisory Council Representative,
Thank you. Good afternoon. Let me just start by saying that, Pat, we would never refer to you as an old record. Never, right? Okay, so today I'm going to be reporting out on the September 16th FAC meeting at Illinois Central College. We did convene last week for our October meeting, but I'm going to wait to report out on that in November because there is a lot to say about what's happening in our meetings this year. So to begin with, the IBHC liaison report by Stephanie Bernotet. Stephanie shared some slides with us called A Thriving Illinois, Higher Education Paths to Equity, Sustainability, and Growth. She wanted to equip us to share this work with our colleagues as it impacts what happens at our institutions. She named three goals: to close equity gaps, improve the financial future for individuals and institutions, and grow talent for the state. Current work underway includes that of the Illinois Commission on Equitable Public University Funding. And I believe that Simone Weffer is on this commission, and so is President Freeman. What else? We have work with work groups developing a nuanced literature-based understanding of adequacy funding, providing adequate support of teaching and learning for a wide variety of students with an equity lens. And it has thus far been applied to K-12 contexts only. There's also a growth strategy around staying in Illinois for higher ed. One approach is the Illinois Tutoring Initiative. ICC is one of the key colleges, along with several public institutions. NIU is one of them, SIUCE, Governor State, and more. And I'm not exactly sure what it is that we're doing, so I'm just reporting out here. Please keep that in mind. The ICCB and IBHE are offering high impact tutoring for third through eighth grade and high school students in school districts with needs, focusing on learning supports for students in key areas of reading and math. So this all sounds very good and very promising. The work of the Early Childhood Access Consortium for Equity falls under the growth goal, but touches also on equity and affordability. This is a unique initiative nationally. 61 public and private higher ed institutions are participating, as well as IBHE, there's a lot of acronyms, sorry, ICCB, ISBE, which is the Illinois State Board of Education, for those of you who don't know, ISAC, the Illinois Student Association Assistance Commission, the Governor's Office of Early Childhood Development, and IDHS, Illinois Department of Human Services. They are unbundling and tackling collectively pathways for incumbent early childhood workforce and employers, a much needed workforce, right? Next steps, she asked for a detailed implementation plan for IBHE staff and an accountability system that includes institutional equity plans and practices, including guidance for public universities to launch their own equity plans. That was for our equity group. You asked about that, right? The public university representative to the IBHE, Jen Delaney, then reported out, and she shared with us her concerns regarding the direction of the funding commission, particularly with notions of adequacy and how that intersects with education and research. If you're interested in knowing more, Jen forwarded her notes on this to me, and they're a couple pages long, so I didn't want to stand up here and read them all, but I can ask her if she would be okay with me sharing them with you or with this body. Okay. We had a presentation by Dean Joe Bergman from Illinois Central College. Dean Bergman presented on ICC's multiple measures initiative. Data has shown that many of the placement tests in use disproportionately place students in developmental courses, and this can add on 2 to 3 semesters and can generate spending $7 billion a year just on developmental courses, and I'm presuming that was a national figure. Studies on the psychological effects of developmental courses suggest the message higher education institutions are sending students is not a sense of belonging. So ICC looked at their own data and they entered variables into spreadsheets for analysis, including like ACT, SAT scores, placement test scores, high school GPAs, last English and math classes, and math GPA. And what they found after a series of comparisons is that the high school GPA overall is the best predictor of student success in the developmental math and English courses. As you can imagine, we had several follow-up questions from our math, chemistry, and English colleagues about this initiative. And if you want to know more, I'll be happy to share that with you. And then with that, I'm going to jump to our equity working group report because that was something you asked me about. In June, the FAC equity working group presented their position paper to the IBHE, and it was very well received. Ismail has a copy of the recording that he can share with any interested parties. I have one as well if you're interested in listening. And I also shared a copy of the position paper, and I'm wondering, should we post that on I can share that with you later then, Pat. Yeah. Excuse me. There's also a website available with information about higher ed institutions with equity plans, if you're interested. It's partnershipfcc.org. That's partnershipfcc.org. This year, the Equity Working Group is going to, they've been asked to compile like a list of resources on institutional equity plans and practices, and also to look at more literature on equity, on DEI plans. And finally, as Ismail mentioned in his opening remarks, I would like to propose two questions. I have two, not just one, areas of concern to this body for consideration. So somewhat like homework, right? I don't know, however you want to take it. Number one is regarding early college credit, which you can imagine comes in various different modes, right? You can have AP credit. You can have, for example, the Seal of Biliteracy here gives you 12 credit hours. It can be dual credit, one that we've been talking about in one of our working groups. So there's two parts to this question. Is there any impact on general ed studies and programs? Are institutions losing revenue to early college credit, and are programs being closed? The second part is, how does early college credit impact students? Does it create equity? And are you feeling like your students are conceptually prepared for the higher level course? Okay, that's the first question. And the second question is one that I certainly can understand. It's about faculty burnout. Are you feeling any faculty burnout? If so, what impact is it having in your classroom? And is it affecting faculty retention? What can we do to address this issue? Anybody else feeling faculty burnout a little bit? Yeah, you can raise your hand. We'll ask the provost to cover our eyes and raise your hand. I don't,
So if you do Qualtrics
survey. We'll do an anonymous Qualtrics survey about that one later. Ismail suggests yes. Wonder how many we'll get yes and replies of yes. Okay. And that concludes my report. So do I have any questions? Again, you're welcome to email me if you want additional information. I didn't want to go through Jen Delaney's entire 2 pages of notes here. But it is very interesting, the concepts that she, the questions that she raises and the concerns about the notion of adequacy in terms of funding. Yeah, I can see some, you know, and maybe we, that's something we could ask Simone Weffer to join us someday. He's on the commission and maybe keep us updated on their developments in terms of like trying to define what is adequacy, right, in higher ed. Okay. Any questions? I'll give everybody a minute.
Questions for Linda?
Should we email you the homework later?
Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so very, very, very much. I mean, getting to talk and discuss with Linda some of the issues that, you know, she champions at IBHE. Myself, I came to be acquainted with those issues, including the work of the Equity Task Force, or Working Group rather, and which I found to be of interest to our Faculty Senate Social Justice Committee. And thanks to Linda forwarding us the working paper that I have shared with the committee, and we will make that working paper also available, because this is a result of a work that reflects, you know, Illinois colleges experience in this domain in general. So we will move to agenda item 9B, and that is University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees. Well, for this, since our last meeting, the board has not met yet. The only new information is that it has approved and publish 2023 meeting date, which is now available on the Board of Trustees website. And I know I'm not alone who is one of those representatives there. I have Felicia and Holly. If there is anything you would like to add, please let me know. Am I getting a thumbs up? Okay, right. Right. Okay, thank you both. So we will move to item 9C, Faculty Rights and Responsibilities Committee. We do not have report, am I right? Right. Item 9D, Social Justice Committee. David Valentina will be providing update report.
Well, I have a brief report. As you may know, the Social Justice Committee has 3 work groups: the Affirmative Action Group, the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Group, and the Institutional Racism Group. And each of those groups has its charge and is working on various activities. Those are very active groups doing a lot of different work. Part of the challenge of the Social Justice Committee is that the work of trying to make NIU more socially just institution and to participate in making our society to have greater social justice in our society, that the work really requires work in every department, in every unit. It's really a distributed process. It's not like you can delegate this work to, you know, I'm going to use the curriculum committee, for example, can go off and meet and make changes, and then those changes can then be implemented. The work of social justice really has to happen in every department and in every program. For example, one of the things that the committee is charged with is to reevaluate the curriculum, and there's no way that one committee could evaluate the curriculum for the entire university. That's something that has to be done a distributed fashion. So the work also needs to be coordinated up the line. I think, as Linda was talking about, that there's initiatives taking place at IBHE that are kind of filtering down to us. And we need to have good communication. And towards that end, Vernice Edgehill Walden is creating something called a community of practice. And so we're, in some ways, the work groups of the Social Justice Committee, we're doing what we do, but we're also kind of waiting to to find out how this plan is going to work, that we're going to be able to have effective communication up and down the layers and across the university. So that's something that we're hoping will be rolled out over the next couple of months. In the absence of having that right now, I just invite all of you who have concerns related to social justice issues to contact me, to send me an email, or maybe I'll just stay a few minutes after today's meeting. You're welcome to stop by and talk if you want to share any of those concerns. And I encourage you also to foster and encourage, look for opportunities within your departments and units to have some of those conversations about social justice issues, and to also avail yourself and ask your colleagues to avail themselves of the resources through ADEI, including the FACES training program, the AQ program, the micro-credentials, the code workshops, and so on. So that's my report.
Thank you, David. Questions for David? Comment? Okay, seeing none, we will move to agenda item 9E. I'll call to Senate. Election rules, governance. Faculty Senate UC Rules, Governance, and Election Committee. Lori Hartentoff, please, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon. As you remember, Professor Howell resigned from the position of faculty personnel advisor early in the fall. Excuse me. As a result, the letters of self-nominations of the position were solicited. I just got here late. The three letters are received by the October deadline. The three letters were then shared with all faculty Senate voting members. And the three candidates are Rodney Coffran, Emerson Sebastio, and Karen Cordegast. You'll be using your clicker to elect one of these candidates.
Okay, so we have our three candidates. I think I'll go back. First, I think I will ask everybody to take a look and see if you are a voting member. If you don't know, here is the list. So if you're on the list, or if you're here for someone who's on that list, then that means you're a voting member and you should have a clicker from the back of the room. Looks like you're all prepared, so that's great. So let's go back up here and look at these folks again. We have the three candidates. I'm going to pull up another quick slide there so you can see on your clickers. If you want to vote for Rodney Coffran, you're going to click, when I open the poll, you're going to click 1 or A. If you want to vote for Emerson, you're going to click 2 or B. And if you want to click vote for Kerry, you're going to click on 3 or C. So let's just open that poll. And you can go ahead and click your number in now. And remember, you don't need to turn the clicker on or off. You just push the number that corresponds with your vote. Another few seconds, maybe. If you were having trouble with your clicker, don't be shy. Let us know that and we'll help you with that. Okay. So I think we have a clear majority vote there for Carrie Cartagas. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori, and thank you, Pat, for walking us through this process. We will continue and move on to agenda item 9F, Student Government Association Report. And this will be given by Dallas, if Dallas is here with us. Dallas, or student representative. So in case Dallas come in late, so otherwise we will move to agenda item 9G, Operating Staff Council Report by Holly Nicholson or Natasha Johnson.
Hi, everyone. So I've been doing some reflecting since Ismail made the suggestion that we try to ask more questions and be more interactive. And, you know, civil service employees affect all of us at, you know, in our work and in our lives here at NIU. And for a while, we've been creating a procedure to present to HR for when administrative professionals leave the university. So often when that happens, there's extra work, there are things, processes that become inefficient, there's lost knowledge. And so if you have any insights, if you work with administrative personnel day to day, if you have any insights that will help our proposal, please reach out to me or to osc@niu.edu and someone will forward it to me. And we also want to hear what other impacts you experience by either loss of staff or changing priorities in any of the operations of the university. I won't put you on the spot now, but please contact me if you have anything. And then finally, if you work with staff that have great leadership skills or would find career fulfillment in shared governance, I would love to have a conversation with them and talk to them about all the opportunities we have. We sometimes have trouble getting some participation in some of our activities. Pat knows very well. I think we're still short on all of our UC committees. So yes, I would love to have a conversation with them or with you. And that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions, comments? Sorry for the people behind. All right, thank you.
Great, thank you, Holly. Agenda item 9H, Supportive Professional Staff Council Report by Felicia Cannon or Andrew Rogers.
Good afternoon. The SPSS Council has been working on looking at data from 2019 to 2022, looking for changes as it relates to hires. Those individuals who have converted from SPSS to civil service, and also in terms of retirements. And so in terms of feedback, or one of the things that we're interested in is any information you'd like to share about changes, impact that it's had in terms of individuals changing from SPSS to civil service, and any either the benefits or concerns that have come up. And so that's one of the things that we're interested in receiving some feedback on. The other thing that we're looking at is during the last academic year, we sent out a survey of SPSS staff in terms of concerns and issues that they had, as well as things that they thought that were going well here at NIU, and we're in the process of analyzing that data. And then the third thing is, Holly mentioned, one of the things that we're trying to increase is involvement in SPSS, particularly in terms of committees. So one of the things that we'll be sending out in terms of through NIU today is just to try to get individuals more involved in some of the committees. We realize it is difficult in terms of making perhaps a commitment as far as the council in participating on a monthly basis, but looking at possibly serving on committees. So we'll be sending out that request. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. Questions, comment for Felicia? Okay. Well, as I said at the very beginning, we are thinking of finding ways to make this reporting segment more engaging. Many of the issues that were reported today or the questions that were asked would be more effective and implemented only if we get the desired response and engagement from Faculty Senate. So as we move forward, we definitely will be implementing that strategy, identifying a topic or writing out loud a specific question any given committee or council would like to kind of engage Faculty Senate with. So I want to thank everyone who presented on this report. With that, we come to agenda item 10, that is informational item. Again, these are exactly what they are, informational, and there are links. We can find minutes, agendas for any of these university committees and the like. One thing of note is agenda item 10Q, and that is the next meeting for Faculty Senate will be November 19. So that will be our next. November 16, rather, sorry. So November 16, rather, would be the next meeting and the last for this semester. So with that, we come to adjournment, and I would like to entertain motion and a second to adjourn today's meeting. Okay, all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Meeting adjourned.